Well, hello everyone. I am not prepared today. I'm literally not prepared. Oh my god. I legit am sitting here recording and I'm not even ready. Like, I think I'm just excited to be recording. The reason that I am not recording recently is because I haven't had a time off where I can record in nobody's home. So, there's that. Okay, I kid you guys not, I didn't even have my script with me, and I kind of need it because it has been a minute since I've recorded, so I literally cannot remember what I say. Okay, if there's, like, an indefinite amount of, like, cuts between this episode, that's because I'm at home with all my family members in the house, so I'm kind of, you know, winging it when it comes to noise. So I'm so sorry in advance if you guys hear anything like dogs barking, my brother is yelling, a lot of coughing, but here we go. Right, I should probably have the script ready. Hello everyone, welcome back. Welcome to just one last episode where we talk about all things Asian dramas. Not real drama, just TV show dramas. My name is Myra, and today's episode is a special one because it is the end of the year roundup for all the dramas that I've watched. Well, okay, that's it, that's a lie. Roundup for all the top 10 dramas that I have for you guys. So if you're ready, buckle up, let's get started, and I'm freaking out. Let's go. All right, hello. Okay, we're back on. Wow, that took me a bit. I had to delete some, add some, create some. It was just a roller coaster. Hi, everyone. Hello, my drama lovers. How is everybody doing? Just so you all know, it's New Year's. Happy New Year. I'm recording this on January 2nd, 2022. Hello, holla. And, yeah. I hope everybody is doing well. Oh, my God. I just realized something. My introduction is missing something very important. Let me add this right here. So before we continue with today's episode, I would really, really, really appreciate it if all of you guys would subscribe and continue listening to the podcast on any type of listening platform that you can, and support us by giving us the best rating possible, giving us some awesome feedback comments, and sharing. That would be the best. Sharing is caring, right? And if you guys want to know more or would like to add your inputs, go ahead and I can't even think. message us, send us anything that you like on any social media platforms that are added on today's episode description, and we can, you know, share what we got for y'all. Wait, what we got from you guys. Wow. Wow, I haven't recorded in so long, honestly. I think it's been a year of holidays. Well, okay, let me rephrase that. The last couple of weeks have been full of holidays, school, finals, activities that I just haven't had the time. And then being at home, I don't really get like an alone time where I can record without any noise. So that really sucks. But I'm doing it now, risking it all. I'm going to do some heavy editing if anything is somehow, you know, ruins the show for today. So, yeah, there we go. What tea do I got for y'all? Well, oh, I think I talked about how I wanted to go watch Monsta X in concert on the Dolly and the Cocky Prince episode, I think. Maybe not, but I've made the final decision and I won't go. I'm kind of in the position financially very, I wouldn't say I'm not in debt, but I'm also not poor, but I use that term a lot. But I'm in the very, very, like, difficult situation because I pay my tuition for school out of pocket, and I don't go to the community college anymore. I go to the university, so that's kicking my ass. And so because of that, that's even harder for me. And I initially was still gonna try to go, but my registrations for my car is coming up this month, and it's another couple hundred dollars, and it's just kind of like, I can't do it. So the reason is that their concert tour starts in February, and so that's where I'm kind of like, I need to get everything done by January to go to their concert in February. So that's not gonna happen. So in that decision was so hurtful, because I really wanted to go see them. I adore them. I love them. I literally had to stop watching their videos for the time being, because I'm utterly obsessed with them. Not in a bad way, I promise. But yeah, so there's that. And then what a fun holiday it was. So we had a wonderful Christmas. My mom's birthday's on Christmas, and so we had a wonderful get-together. But that get-together triggered some colds. So my whole family got sick. Literally my whole family. Family members from downstairs are coughing. My parents are coughing. Her brother's coughing. It is a coughing disaster. And thankfully, cross our fingers, it's not COVID. I got tested at least, and it was negative for me. But I don't know about everybody else. I'm tired of being the responsible person here. I've given up at this point. But I make sure to wear my mask. Please wear your mask. Please wear your mask. Get vaccinated and be responsible. Some conspiracy people just gotta shut the front door and just listen for once. So that's a lot of COVID talk already. I don't want to do that. But you may be hearing a lot of coughing people. So coughing people, people who are coughing. yeah, so there's really nothing new for me. I have goals for this year. I mean, do you guys have any goals, any New Year's resolution? I've kind of given up on the resolution aspect. I've kind of set goals for myself. And this year, I want to continue doing more of my podcast. I'm still probably going to be posting twice a month because of tuition, of school, I mean. That takes a lot of my time. Work takes a lot of my time. And it's just really hard recording when there's a lot of family members in the house, and I don't get a... There's not a moment where if I tell them to be quiet, they won't be quiet. So I'm just hoping that I continue this. That's my goal. That's one of my goals. I want to continue doing this. I love this. I enjoy this because, first of all, I'm getting a few listeners, and thank you guys. And second of all, it's my only way to release any like comments that I have for... Dropped one of my bottle sprays here in my desk. I get to share my thoughts and perspectives on dramas that I really, really want to talk about, but I have no one to talk about. So this is like a perfect place. But that's a goal of mine. I want to get back into exercising. I want to set up a routine. I don't want to say a resolution of losing weight. It's just I want to set up a routine where I go back to working out. That was a routine of mine for a couple of months last year. And then the last two, almost 3 months, it was shit show. I couldn't get back to working out. School was kicking my butt, and that really triggered. It snows here in Utah. I'm not about to go drive in the freaking blizzard to the gym. Hail to the French toast, no. So that's one of my other goals that I want to try getting back into. And then another thing is I want to do a manifestation board. So I got the blank board from the dollar store, and I want to manifest all of the things that I really want to happen in my life. First and foremost, not adding this to the manifestation board, but just reading more is another goal of mine. I want to actually read books. I miss reading, and I love that. I'm getting into anime again. Not in any means upset about it. I used to be very insecure about the idea back in the day when I was younger. There was a lot of judgment. There was a lot of... not ignorant people, but like a lot of assholes. And so now I appreciate them more, and I don't give rat's ass about it. Like, I watch anime. F you. Doesn't matter, you know? So there's that. But regarding the manifestation board, I just want to get some... The year 2021 was definitely, in a sense, a bit hard for me because mentally I've been struggling a lot. I've lost a lot of friends in the process, or I feel like I'm losing friends, and it hurts the bottom of my heart. But I think I assume, and that's one thing that I need to stop doing, is I assume a lot, and I feel like that really took away from all the friends. Like, there's one in particular that I really want to regain, but because of the fact that, you know, for me it was, oh, because of this, because of that, thinking, oh, they don't want to hang out with me, I'm not cool, I'm nothing like that at all. And so I see them as this really, you know, cool person that does all these things, and why would they want to hang out with me? That's always been my perspective. And I want to be the bigger person and reach out and do something, but I'm always afraid that I'm gonna get dropped dead, and I don't want that. So it's been a bit of a struggle with that. Friendship has been of something that I value most, because at one point in my life I didn't even have that with my brothers, and it was really triggering, and so I relied on friends a lot. And at the end of the day, it just kind of went downhill. It's like I gained my brothers back, but I'm losing friends. So it's like, what do I do? So I think I want to manifest friendship, the old ones, the ones that I care for a lot. I want to manifest travel again, even though COVID is just as bad as it was in the beginning, even if not worse. I want to manifest positivity, confidence, and I guess love. It's hard to say, but I want to manifest a good person in my life. And it's scary to say that because, gosh, his laugh is so weird. Sorry, that was my brother. But I want to manifest love. And it's scary to say that because I'm just not looking for that right now. I have so much in my brain, and I feel like I still need to find that self-love first before I fall in love. And that's why working out is one thing for me. Like, it helps mentally my anxiety. Like, my anxiety has been so bad, and so I want to manifest good things before love, anything, of course. But so that's what I'm trying to do. I think for me, friendship, I value it so much, and so I want to regain that. I also want to regain that self-love that I did have at one point. I'll be honest, that was me consistently working out. But I feel like the last couple of months has been really, really hard with school, and I don't like that at all. I want to go back to that happy self again. So it's going to be a work in progress. If y'all want to see, let me know. I will probably post a little snippet on our Instagram. But for now, it's just kind of like, it's a whiteboard. It's nothing at all. But yeah, so that's a little tease, a lot to share. I was very emotional, I guess. I kind of use this as a diary, so I'm sorry if it's a little too much, maybe a little too triggering, but I just wanted to let you guys know how I feel lately, how I've been feeling, and I don't have anybody to talk to. I can't even afford to go to a freaking therapist because of tuition, you know, so it's so hard, and I'm kind of in this boat of, what the hell do I do? So I think that's why I got the manifestation board, is because I want to manifest good things in my life. People, things, travel, food, health. God, I'm getting old. So that's my goal, I guess, is, other than what I told you guys, just create a manifestation board that can really help me. Oh, and better my fashion, because fashion sense, because I've noticed I'm not really good at it, sort of. Okay, I try. But yeah, so there you go. What is your guys' 2022 goals or resolutions, if you do resolutions? With that said, I think it's time, right? It's time. So this episode, we will be talking about the top 10 dramas of 2021. This is my own personal perspective, my own personal thoughts. Please bear in mind, again, this is only coming from me, Myra, nobody else. We didn't do a survey because it's just me by myself alone. I just do as a we, so that way, you know, I make it seem like professional, but there's no we, it's just I. But my personal top 10 favorite dramas of 2021. I will have some honorable mentions at the end, but beware of the top 10. I'm a romantic freak, so most of these dramas are going to be romance, probably, if not. There is a mix of Chinese and Korean dramas. I'm still working on Japanese. But if you guys have any dramas that you guys have on your list, please let me know. So without further ado, let's go.
I'm so excited.
Okay. again, disclaimer, this is only my personal opinion. Me, Myra, myself, and I, because there's only one person in this whole team of one last episode. Nobody does anything else, just me. So if y'all have different views, you know, I'll be down. Please send me your top 10 lists and I can share them on our social medias. Just because, you know, we all have different perspectives on dramas. You know, we all may like the ones that are a little bit more thriller. We might like the ones that are more dramatic. I prefer more the ones that are more romantic. That's just me. I'm just a little extra. I am also I'm a romantic. What's the term? There's a term for it. It's like a romantic person. Anyways, so yeah. Okay. I'm gonna go ahead and mention the top 10. We're gonna go from 10, 9, 8, 7, blah, blah, blah. And so the last three dramas are gonna be pretty much the most difficult ones ever. Actually, no, the last two dramas. Because one of them I still haven't finished it yet. That is the only reason why I haven't finished it is because I've actually planned to finish the last two episodes with this drama with my friends. Of this drama with my friends. But I have yet to get together with them. I was supposed to meet them yesterday, but unfortunately, I got a cold and stuff spiraled out of control. So, I did finish one today that's on this list, and I think I'm gonna add it as number two, but I won't tell you guys just yet. And I do think I will be adding episodes to some of these dramas alone. But anyways, I think it's time. Okay, so going in at number 10, this is probably going to be a bit of a shocker considering how I say that I prefer romance. This is not your typical drama that you see often. It's called Happiness. Happiness is a Korean drama that recently finished. It actually ended on December 11th, 2021. And it is a thriller, kind of a bit of a horror drama. And it stars Han Hyo-joo and Park Hyun-sik. Basically about zombies. if you guys haven't heard this drama, I mentioned it a couple times. This one recently ended again, and it is brilliant. I like the subtlety romance in this drama. Very, very, very subtle. And also, I like the thriller of it. I loved that there's like a love-hate relationship with one of the guys there. He is Han Tae-suk. He is learning how to speak Korean still. But he's one of the court. I cannot pronounce the name. Oh, my Lanta. I can never do it. He's a lieutenant colonel. He's a lieutenant colonel. And he is like a love-hate relationship with that guy. Well, okay. To me, it was that way because from the beginning, he seemed pretty bad. But in a way, he wasn't. And so kind of the synopsis is, I think I already said it before, but I'll do it again for any listeners for this episode. Set in the near future, a high-rise apartment building has been newly constructed in the big city. The apartment building has residents from diverse backgrounds, but the new infectious disease breaks out. Because of the outbreak, the high-rise apartment is sealed off. The residents struggle to survive while stricken with fear and distrust of others. Yoon Se-bum, or Han Hyo-joo, is a member of a special police squad. She is decisive, determined, and does not easily get rattled. She's excited to move into her new apartment, but as soon as she moves there, she faces a crisis. Jung Yi-hyun, or Park Hyun-sik, is a detective. He is smart, honest, for a long time, has held a romantic feelings for Yoon Se-bum. They graduated from the same high school. Jung Yi-hyun struggles to protect Yoon Se-bum and other people. And then we have the lieutenant. Han Tae-suk is a lieutenant colonel and belongs to the health service command. He holds a key in the infectious disease outbreak. So yeah, it is quite the most terrifying in most cases, but it's such a brilliant story because it kind of, it's set to be in the future, near future, but COVID is still an issue. And so it kind of like triggers in a way because, you know, COVID is an issue right now. So I really, really love this drama. Like, I didn't think that I was going to love it so much, but whenever an episode would air, I would literally be waiting the next day because, you know, subs. So I really do recommend it if you are more of a thriller, drama lover type of feel. It's a little bit scary if you do get scared easily, but it's still worth watching it. It really is. And there's a huge surprise at the end that I did not anticipate, but I had a feeling. I give you a little hint. It's the guy with the mask. That doesn't really give you a hint, but that gives you a hint. Okay, so we have Número dos. Okay, this one is a Japanese drama. I actually did have a Japanese drama in here. I did not think I was going to add it, but I did because it was really, really, really good. Okay. So you guys, if you haven't heard, this drama is called Alice in Borderland. Again, I mentioned this in my top 10 or top dramas for the spooky season. And it is a Japanese drama. It is only on Netflix. Oh, I'm sorry. Happiness is a drama that's available on Viki only. Unless you... Alice in Borderland is available on Netflix. This is my number 9 drama, by the way. It is a thriller drama. And it stars Kento Yamasaki, Tao Tsuchiya, and then that's only the two that I'm gonna say because they are the two main actor and actress in this drama from beginning to end. So, well, sort of. And this drama actually aired in December 10 of 2020. Holy macaroni, I didn't realize this was a 2020 drama. Well, it's still my 2021 because I do remember watching it a little bit after a Christmas season. It was like just around January when I started watching it. So, yes. So, this drama is... Okay, let me give you guys a description. Obsessed gamer Arisu suddenly finds himself in a strange, emptied-out version of Tokyo in which he and his friends must compete in dangerous games in order to survive. It may sound like Squid Game, but it has a different concept overall. It has the same feel. You have to play a game to survive or you die. Same thing. You have to play a game to survive. There is definitely a different type of event when it comes to this drama. Like, it's more of a, like, a video game styled game. And like Squid Game is... I have a lot to say about Squid Game, and I will in a bit, but... Squid Game, people made the choice to be involved in these games. They made the choice to be a part of this, not knowing that there is possible deaths in the game. Versus Alice in Borderland, I don't know why I liked it. I think another thing is I don't fall into the bandwagon of things, so I'll again explain it during the Squid Game segment, quote unquote. But with Alice in Borderland, I liked that. I just liked it. It was weird. I liked it in the way that it was just unexpectedly terrifying, you know? The second or third episode in, there's a moment where I always... Because the main guy, the actor Kento, he doesn't go in... Or the character Arisu, he doesn't go in there by himself. He goes in there with two of his bestest friends. So a little bit of a spoiler, but he... The second or third episode in... There's a huge decision needs to be made, and that's where it's triggering. It's brilliant. It's just triggering. I really do. I don't know why I liked it. I think I mentioned it in the spooky drama list as well. I don't know why I like this drama. I just really think it's worth being on my top 10 at least. So, all right, everyone. Number eight is also a drama that I've already done an episode on. The drama is called My Little Happiness, and it is a Chinese drama. This drama aired, again, in 2021. The dates are shown... Let's see here. It doesn't tell me specifically. I think it was... I can't remember for the life of me. I'll be very honest with y'all. Oh, here it is. So January. So I think I watched it sometime. Yeah, around that time, maybe a little after. Like around February, I think. And again, this is a Chinese drama. It is a drama available on Viki, and it looks like on Tencent. It is a romantic comedy drama. And again, I do talk about this one very thoroughly because it's one of my favorite Chinese dramas. Yeah, kind of give you a little bit of a, I guess, backstory. Synopsis, I should say. Cholrong has long dreamed of becoming a lawyer, but her mother is absolutely determined to see her daughter study finance abroad. Hoping that her daughter will successfully settle down somewhere overseas, Cholrong's mother won't take no for an answer. Unable to convince her mother to let her pursue her dreams, Cholrong has no choice but to do as her mother wishes. Or does she? After successfully convincing her mother that she has set off distant lands, Cholrong secretly returns home to begin work as a legal intern. Taking in her first case, Cholrong comes face to face with her childhood friend Wen Xiaoting. Now a surgeon, Xiaoting isn't just Cholrong's client, he's also her landlord and next door neighbor. Tied together by their ever-tightening string of fate, Cholrong and Xiaoting find themselves drawing closer despite their best efforts. Engaged in a never-ending battle of wits, the childhood friends may fight against the ties that bind them, but how long will they be able to resist the inevitable? We'll be honest. I didn't think that I was going to fall in love with this one, but I did. To the point where I actually did an episode for this one, too. So, if you guys want me to really go into depth about this drama, totally check it out. It's one of my dramas, I don't know, first few dramas that I talk about. Anyways, if you like a more soft, oh my god, I'm realizing a lot of things right now, but anything's like very soft, very good drama that you would want to talk about, watch, I mean, it's definitely this one. Check it out. Again, I talk about it, but it's available on Viki and on Tencent, so do so if you love something more on the lovey-dovey side, romantic side. I also fell in love with the guy, so... Oh, let me give you guys the actor and actress's names. I totally got so into it. So the actress name is Xing Fei, and the actress name is Tang Xiaotian. Tian, I guess his, like, stage name? I've mentioned it before, but his stage name is Tati Tang. Just putting it out there. I don't know why. I think I fell in love with it. Please don't tell my mom. So for the next drama, I also did an episode. It is my number 7. Wait, did I say number 8? 8 for My Little Happiness, 7 for this current one. It is a Chinese drama and it's called Crush. I also talk about this drama in an episode, so please check that episode out if you guys want more into depth and my thoughts and views on this one. It is available on Viki and on ETA, or IQ on the website. And it's a romantic comedy drama, I would say. It definitely was a different story plot that I would have thought I would not like, but I actually liked it. This stars in this drama is Evan Lin, and the actress is Wang Peng. So the guy is Evan Lin and the girl is Wang Peng. And the drama is about Song Wu-yan, a college senior, dreams of becoming a broadcaster. She works as an assistant at a radio station and likes mysterious songwriter with the name Yi Jin. She fell in love with at first sight after a chance meeting with Sun Yantin, and later discovers that he is visually impaired. Layer by layer, Song Wu-yan peels off Sun Yantin's elusive, arrogant, and indifferent shell due to his broken family. She then learns that he was in fact the talented Yi Jin. Their interactions lead to sweeping romance, but the couple find themselves in a tug of war between their hard-earned happiness and their fear of loss. So, there's a little bit of a spoiler with this one. Because they do break up, they get together, they do break up, they break up for about a year, and they get back together. I didn't think it was a toxic relationship whatsoever. What I liked about this drama is that it was also, just as it is with My Little Happiness, this one was very wholesome. I don't remember ever seeing any type of, I don't think so. I don't remember seeing any type of, like, love triangles that I absolutely hate seeing. With this one, it was very wholesome in a way. You know, the breakup was meant to happen. In most cases, I hate when they break up and it's a nasty breakup and then they get back together or they don't get back together at all. And I'm just like, oh, fuck. But this one, they break up because she's struggling. You know, she's in love with him, but she's struggling to figure herself out. And he himself, too, is also like, dude, like, you know, he's going through these changes. And to do so, he kind of needs to break up with her to find himself as well. You know, being blind is very hard to kind of, you know, transition from blind to not being blind. And so for him, it was like, with the struggle with his family, with the struggle of himself, and then, you know, finding someone that he fell in love with, but she also needs to figure her things out. It was, I liked it because, of course, they were also young, but they were able to grow up together, learn through their mistakes and errors, and then, you know, get back together again, because he had never been in a relationship, and so, like, you know, she was his first love and forever will be. So she was very apprehensive because she was afraid of what could have happened, but at the end, they, you know, they got together, and I liked it. I did. You know, it was a little tug of war after the breakup, him trying to get back together with her, but at the end of the day, I liked it in comparison to many other romantic dramas that I've seen that are very hard to finish. Point blank, that's just me. But I'm also very picky with my drama, so be warned. My number 6 drama. This one is one drama that I hate that it didn't get enough attention. It's called Run On, and it's available on Netflix, and it is a K-drama. Run On was definitely, I feel like, a very mature story. I really, really wish that it had received more love because of the actress. She's one of my absolute favorites, but unfortunately, the drama didn't get a lot of attention like you would think with other dramas that you've seen on Netflix, or at least romantic dramas. So this one stars Im Si-won and the actress, my favorite actress, Shin Se-kyung. And the story is a dramatic melodrama, I would say, romance, find yourself type of drama. And one moment, please. Okay, I'm so sorry. I started hearing some noises, and I was like, oh shit, never mind. Plus, I also started to realize that there's a missing drama in my list that I actually was supposed to add on there, but I didn't. So what the fuck? Anyways. So Run On, yes, I think I was just mad that it didn't get the attention that I needed, because it is such a, like, a very women, like, it's a very women, I can't think of English right now. like, women power. Wow, brain the fart. Women power. So it, like, let me just read you guys the synopsis real quick. The love story between Ki Song-kyeom and Oh Mi-joo. Ki Song-kyeom was once a popular sprinter for the national team. Due to a case, he quit the sport. He then begins to work as a sport agent. Meanwhile, Oh Mi-joo writes subtitle translations for movies. She was thrilled when she first saw her name as a translator during the end credits. There was a typo on this. She meets Ki So-kyeom, who just quit being a sprinter. She feels so they were destined to meet. So-tana is the CEO of a sports agency. She is the only child of man who runs the So-myeon group. Because of her gender, she is pushed back on the list of potential successors to the So-myeon group. She lives fiercely to take back what originally belonged to her. Lee Yong-hwa then appears in her life. He is a university student majoring in art. He likes movies and croquet drawing. That's a lot of typos. But so there are two couples in this drama, and so we have the actress Shin Se-kyung and Im Si-won, who are the main couple. And I love that she is very passionate about what she does. And she will not quit until she gets what she wants. You know, she's very strong-willed. And I really like that. And I like the fact that the personality that she has, she kind of gives that braveness, that passion, that strive to the male lead, which is MC1's character. Because he won't speak up. I feel like I can relate to this character a lot. Because he doesn't speak up. He kind of keeps it all to himself. When he's in pain, he keeps it to himself. He's very quiet, but I don't think he's shy. He's just very quiet. And I think that has to do with how his father treated him. I can't remember. It's been a minute, obviously. And I don't know. I really like that. The personality that he has, he's very calm, collected. He also kind of helped the female lead's character calm down. Because she's very impulsive, I feel like. She's just very... She strives for what she wants and she won't give up. And that's, you know, very good, but that's also very bad because she's very bold. There is a scene, spoiler, and it probably went viral too, where she's cussing out a director in English. She's like, fuck you, fuck this, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, oh my god, I love her even more. So I think, honestly, a little spoiler on my life, watching this drama really made me kind of decide what I wanted to do when it comes to my career, because even though she was a struggling translator, I still loved what she did, and I was really very kind of driven by that. So I really want to thank this drama for that opportunity. You know, I love the whole translation of things. I did interpreting, so doing the translation portion would be such an amazing feeling, because I'm writing a story but in a different language. So that's a little snippet of my life. But then we have the second couple, Sultana, which is played by Soyoung, who is one of the girls from Girls' Generation, if you don't already know, Choi Soyoung. And then we have the actor Kang Tae-ho, who he plays Lee Yong-hwa. This couple was interesting, to say the least. I like, even though I feel like she, okay, I'm not trying to be very sexist about it, but just the idea that he is very, like, shares his emotions, very passionate about romance, he's very lovey-dovey, he wants her, he's in love, he's not afraid to share the love that he has for her. Versus she's kind of, like, push and pull, like, I don't want you, I want you, I don't want you, I want you. But she's very strong, and I feel like they both come from very different backgrounds, and I feel like that's the reason why they are how they are, and that's the reason why it's hard for her to fall for this guy, because of the fact that he, you know, is such a vibrant person versus she's very, like, stern to the point, boom, like, they're very businesslike. And I like how strong she is in that aspect. Like, she's just very driven, she's a businesswoman, that's who she is, like, she will kick some ass. I just didn't like, and I think I understand where she comes from, because she was raised in a very cold, cold household where her youngest brother, half-brother, a spoiler, is treated so badly, but she kind of changes hearts, and I did have a little bit of, like, iffiness on that relationship, because the way that they treated her half brother. Oh my gosh, I'm forgetting how to speak. But I can understand in some ways why. But at the same time, it's like, don't hurt him physically, because that's just very sad. So yes. And then her male lead, her guy, Lee Yong-hwa. Sorry, guys. I'm having difficulty speaking. I have a cold, so, like, my throat is just very, like, it just, you need to cough. And I'm trying not to. But the actor that plays her man's, Kang Tae-ho, I've seen him in other dramas, and I'll be very, very frank and honest. I was shocked. I'm so used to seeing him very serious, very, like, very flirty, very forward, very kind of like a, he's got a fuckboy look to him, right? But when I saw him in this, I was like, whoa, like, he's quirky, he's funny. So I was very surprised by it. So I just loved everything about this drama, and I feel like it deserves more love, because the concept of finding yourself, even though you're hit a point in your life, how would I put this? Like, with the actual male lead, Im Si-won's character, you know, he has a fallout in a situation, and because of that, he kind of seems lost. And I feel like I like the fact that his age, he's supposed to be playing somebody around my age, and so I felt like I can relate 1000%, because he was in a position where I don't know what I'm gonna do with my life, I don't know what's gonna happen, but I need to figure something out, but I'm just gonna do it on my own pace and in my own time. And that's what I fell in love with the most, is that that happened, and she was there to kind of help him, even though she was kind of also in this struggle trying to be noticed, trying to be not famous, but just, you know, be well known in the society of translators. So I really just fell in love with everything about this drama, and I waited every single time it was on. So I think because of the career path that this drama has, it relates to what I want to do, and I think that's why I fell in love with it. So yeah, that's my number six. We've hit top five. Drum roll. I wonder if I can do like that sound effect. I'll try. Probably not gonna work, but anyways. Okay, so we are in our top five, and this is where it's gonna get juicy. Some of these, actually, the next two dramas that I'll be talking about, I don't know if I talked about one of them. I don't think I did. But the next two dramas, I do have episodes where I talk about them very thoroughly, very into depth of the drama. So if you guys are interested, please check them out. If you're subscribed, you'll be able to see them on the season. So my top number five, number five on my list, we've got Vincenzo. I mean, enough said. This is a Korean drama that aired back in February, ran all the way to May, and it was available on Netflix. This drama became like a big ass deal around the time. It stars Song Joong-ki, who's Vincenzo Cassano, and then we have our main two people after that. We have Jeon Yo-bin, who plays Hong Tae-yong, and then our beloved Hwang Tae-kyun, who is Jang Joon-woo. And do I really need to explain more? Because this drama, oof, guys, oof. To give you a little plot synopsis, if you haven't already seen my episode, or heard my episode, at the age of 8, Park Joo-hyung went to Italy after he was adopted. He is now an adult and has the name of Vincenzo Cassano. He is a lawyer who works for the mafia as a consigliere. Because of a war between mafia groups, he flees to South Korea. In South Korea, he gets involved with lawyer Hong Tae-yong. She is the type of attorney who will do anything to win a case. Vincenzo Cassano falls in love with her. He also achieves social justice by his own way. To say this is not like a quote-unquote mafia-style drama is an understatement, because it is more than that. It is a brilliant drama. I, by far, didn't think that I was going to fall in love with this one, but I did. Because it is about fighting for justice. It is about fighting for social justice. It is fighting for what's right for him and his people, the family that he creates. But it's also finding yourself in a way. And I really liked that. This drama was definitely out of this world, because it doesn't have romance. Like, happiness, it's very, 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 very subtle. But unlike happiness, there's no defining a relationship. There's no defining what they have. At the end of the day, spoiler, no actual relationship is formed between the two. But something kind of, I'd say, it's like hinted in a way. And so I feel like this drama is a different turn of dramas that you see. Like Happiness, this drama it has a different perspective. Like Happiness is very like, Happiness is like zombies and stuff like that, versus Vincenzo is more mafia. And even though it's common to see a lot of social justice dramas, especially like with lawyers, gangs, it hits differently when it's somebody from a different country. So that was by far one of my favorites for the first half of December, the first half of 2021. It took over my life, I'm not gonna lie, it really did. So that's why it hits number 5. It's not my number 1, but it's definitely one of my top 5. And I had to have it as my top 5 because it's brilliant, unbelievably brilliant. So for my number 4, I also did an episode for this drama. It's a recent, it's actually the drama talk before this episode. And it is called Dali and the Cocky Prince. Probably one of my favorite romantic K-dramas romantic modern K-dramas of 2021. Because the first two are not modern. Give you a little hint. So again, this one I actually do talk about and like really, really, really like share my love for it in the previous episode. So if you haven't, please check it out. But this one, it stars Park Yong-young, who's Kim Dali, and then Kim Min-jae, who is Jin Woo-hak. And I make a mistake and butcher his name a lot in the episode, so please forgive me. This is a drama available on Viki. It aired September and then finished in November, so just a recent drama. So this drama is synopsis time. Jin Woo-hak is the second son from a family that runs the global restaurant franchise firm Don Don F&B. The company started from a Gamjatang restaurant. He lacks education, but he has an excellent ability to make money. Meanwhile, Kim Dali is visiting researcher of an art gallery. She is the only child of a prestigious family. Kim Dali can speak 7 different languages and she has a good personality, but she is not very good at doing household chores like cooking. Jin Woo-hak and Kim Dali happen to meet without knowing about each other's backgrounds and they develop good feelings for each other. Due to an art gallery that is going bankrupt, they meet again as the son of a rich, uneducated family and the daughter of a prestigious family. Literally, that's enough said. I love this because it's a romantic comedy, but I love the fact that they're completely two different types of people, and that's what I fell in love with the most, is because they're different in every means way, but they're still very likable, is what attracted me the most. So that's why I was just kind of like, oh my god, I freaking love it. So if you guys want to know more about this drama, check out the last episode before this one, and I will basically share my thoughts and views and my love for this drama. Okay. I had a little break because my cough was getting a little worse. So I'm going to have to take it easy. So for my number 3, this is a drama that I really wish that I could have recorded an episode on, but I didn't. Still probably consider doing it, but I may not do it just because there's just so many dramas that I want to share and stuff. But for now, still will be short and sweet. So we have You Are My Glory. It is a Chinese drama that aired in 2021, July to August of 2021. And it stars two of my favorite actors and actresses. So Yang Yang is the actor, the main actor. He plays Yu Tu. The tones, man. I'm so sorry. And then Diraba Dimurat, she plays Xiao Jingjing. And it is by far one of my favorite Chinese dramas as a whole. Like, if I can list all the dramas, I've seen a ton of Chinese dramas as well. This has got to be my number 1. out of all of them, and that's talking because I even have an episode for My Little Happiness, and My Little Happiness was number 8 versus this one that's on number 3, and I don't have an episode yet, so maybe I will make an episode. So this drama is available on Tencent, I guess, on Prime Video. What? Fuck my life. I didn't even know that. So it's on Tencent, or I guess you can call it WeTV. Yeah, and it's actually also available on YouTube. So it was airing when it was still airing at the time when I watched it. But I believe now you can watch it on YouTube with subs. So, yeah. This drama is about a very romantic, funny, mature drama. There is no... I liked a couple of things about this drama. I love that it didn't have that heavy love triangle between the second lead guy or second lead girl. And I liked that it felt more real. Felt very, very real. So let me just give you guys a synopsis. A story that follows an aerospace engineer, I wish I can pronounce it, the tones. I'm so sorry. And the shining star, Xiao Qingting. I'm going to just say you for him. A decision is made to start gaming in order to save her endorsement deal brings her face to face with an old crush. As they grow closer, the two forge ahead to become each other's glory. Being well-known celebrity, Xiao Qingting has to keep up with appearance in order to maintain her multi-faced image. Alas, one starts to crack when someone leaks a video of her playing an online video, being terrible at it, which is completely inconsistent with the image she has created of herself as the game's ambassador. Thus, she joins a gaming competition to prove herself, her skills, and to prevent herself from losing her endorsement. Xiao Qingting decides to use all of her free time towards improving her game, and her decision leads her to reconnect with her old high school classmate, Yu, whom she once had a crush on. He was a legend at their school, outstanding in everything in that he does, while Xiao Qingting was just an average girl. Yu went on to become an aerospace engineer who is also an expert gamer. It seems that the online game brought them together once more, so she asks him to become her gaming coach. Oh, and it's based on a web novel, and I want to read that. Anyways, so I love that there was growth within the relationship. There was growth within each other, and I think what I loved most is that they were both around my age, so I was able to relate so much in the aspect of, you know, being human, you know, and I also kind of, we get to see a little bit of her lifestyle as an actress, humble actress, by the way, and how she didn't care, first and foremost, one, that he was an aerospace engineer who wasn't getting paid enough like she is, two, he was an aerospace engineer, and she was willing to keep the relationship private, considering who he is and where he works. So that's a big one. She was willing to sacrifice the attention, quote unquote, for the relationship to keep as private as possible. And two, spoiler, when they get married, she doesn't ask for an extravagant wedding. She just wants to have a celebration with him, her family, and close friends, and that's it. And I really, really loved the whole thing about it. And then the moments that they had with each other was so cute, so romantic, and a little bit, like, unexpected for a Chinese drama. I was very, like, pleased with it. I'm not gonna lie. It was really romantic. So I will probably go forth with an episode in the future. If you guys do want me to talk about it, let me know. But for now, this is a little snippet as to why I love it. It is my top 3 dramas of 2021 and definitely my number 1 for all of the Chinese dramas that I've seen. So there we go. Okay, number 2. Okay, to be very frank with y'all, the next 2 dramas, I either finished one today, which was the current one for number 2, and then the other one I haven't seen. But I'm kind of the person who doesn't really care for sneak peeks, spoilers, trailers. I don't care. I don't. If I really truly love it, you know I really truly love it. So, I know that my number one has a happy ending because I've seen the spoiler. My number two, you know, I could have kept it at just episode 16, but I didn't, and it dropped to number two because of that. But it's still on the edge because I loved every single thing about it, and I will be doing an episode for this one because I have so much to say. But number two, it's the red sleeve or the red sleeve cuff. It is a 2021 drama that actually ended yesterday. So it ended in 2022, but it technically aired throughout 2021. And all I have to say is that I am beyond happy that the male and female lead deserved the, I think, outstanding award for acting or whatever, or best actor of 2021. They deserve it. They 100% deserve it. They did a brilliant job. And there's so much to say about this story because it is so sad that it is just worth watching. So the Red Sleeve drama, it is a Korean drama that, again, it just ended yesterday, January 1st. Well, was it January 1st or December 31st for Korea? Let me just make sure. Because I thought I had it ready, but I didn't. Yeah, January 1st. Yeah. So it started in November and in January 1st, but it's actually still considered a 2021 drama for me. So it stars one of my absolute favorite singer actors, Lee Joon-ho, as the king, prince, and then king, Lee San. And then our beautiful female lead, Lee Se-young, who plays the actress as Sung Do-kim. And let me give you guys a synopsis real quick. Again, this drama is available on Viki and then dot, 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 dot. I know, if you guys know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about, but I'm not going to say it because it's not. I'm also an adult and I have to pay for things, so I'm very responsible for that. Anyways, so the synopsis is as follows. Set in the 18th century, its Red Sleeve depicts a love story between King Tong Do and a royal concubine, Hyu Bin Song. Song Do-kim is a court lady. She gets involved with Crown Prince Lee San and he falls in love with her. The Crown Prince eventually becomes King Tong Do. He now desires Song Do-kim to become his concubine, but she refuses. Song Do-kim wants to live her life freely, something that will not be possible as a concubine. She also knows the life of a royal concubine does not generally bring about happiness. Yet Song Do-kim becomes a concubine of King Tong Do. Okay. This one is, it's funny. It has humor, but it's a very serious drama. It's a romantic drama. And it is unexpectedly one of my favorite Joseon Dynasty dramas. I mean, obviously not number one, of course. But if y'all know a little bit of history, well, okay, I didn't know anything about it, but I heard through Lee Joon-ho's interview, I don't know with who, but he talked about how he was playing a king, prince/king, who was beloved by Korea, South Korea, or Korea as a whole, I think. And I guess this is a true story. And closer to the end, I started to really read the story of the king, read the story of the concubine. And I was utterly shocked by a lot of things that I will not share, but I will say this. They decided to add episode 17, right? That was, I guess it's more of an a special episode. It is not an episode I would recommend if you want to keep the happy moment alive. If you want to really, really see the true story of this king, I suggest watching the episode. Because to put it lightly, episode 17 is not a happy ending. Episode 16 gives us a quote-unquote happy ending, but it doesn't truly give us a happy ending if you watch episode 17. All I have to say is that I can, in the perspective of Sang Do Kim, when it comes to freedom, when it comes to, I guess, being a woman, I can understand her completely. This is a bit of a spoiler, by the way. I mean, it's not because I say it, because I said it on the synopsis, but she is a court lady who wants to live her life, and being a court lady, you don't have freedom, but you can get out of it, so I believe. And so that was kind of her plan. She wanted to get out of it and live with her brother. Now, it is a true story, but there are a few things on the drama that are not necessarily true. Like, for instance, the concubine or the court lady, the female lead, she actually had more than 5 siblings in real life, versus in the drama, she only has a brother. But in the drama, she wanted to leave and you know, live her life as a human. And she decides to be his concubine because even though she doesn't say it, you can tell that she loves him unconditionally. But she knows the sacrifice that she would have to go through in order to be with him. Another thing that she says that I will forever hold in my head and in my heart, even though we don't live in that life, thank the Lord, is that being a concubine, you don't live as just husband and wife. You don't live as just him and her. You don't live as just beloved partners forever and always. You will live with him and 3, 4, 5 other women in that, I guess, palace. And for the most part, you won't actually be with him 100%. And when I started to understand that part of her, I was like, fuck. Damn. I want to go so much more into depth, but I won't, because I feel like this is going to be just an episode of it, but it shouldn't. There's so much that I can say, so much, and I will in another episode, hopefully. But that's just what I have to say. And then another line that I also struck with me was one of the Queen Taogor. I can never pronounce it. But one of the queen, the grandmother, if you've seen it or are seeing it. I was like utterly surprised by her words at the end of the drama. Where she says, I'm so sorry for that, my brother. Where she says, I can't remember what the words were, but along the lines of being a queen gets you nowhere. Like, you don't have the freedom. You may be in this wonderful world, but we're just in a luxury prison. I'm just like, fuck. Because they can't leave the castle, the palace. They're literally stuck. They cannot leave the palace. They are forever there. And it's so sad when you think about it. So at the end of the drama, I started to really see more of the true story. And it was so hurtful that I kind of regretted watching episode 17. I'm not going to lie. Because episode 16 gave us that happy ending that we assume that the true story had, but it didn't. So that's just an FYI. If you want to have just the happy ending, just end it to 16. That's all you need to do. But if you want to know the true story, or at least part of the true story, watch episode 17 and then you'll know. So good luck with that. All right, my loves, we are hitting at my number one. But before I do, I will be mentioning some honorable mentions for you all, because I know that I kind of have to. As one of the honorable mentions, we have Hometown Cha-Cha-Cha, which was, I believe, a November drama. And I will be very frank with y'all. I loved it. I really did love it. It was an August to October drama, sorry. I did love it. I genuinely have no idea why I didn't add it on my top 10. I think because it didn't jump to me like the other dramas did. I mean, it has nothing to do with Kim Sun-ho, his scandal. It has 100% nothing to do with him. Because it literally happened the last two episodes or the last episode of it. It really wasn't that. Like, I just don't know why it didn't trigger. Maybe it is, maybe not, I don't know. But the point is, I did love it, but it wasn't like, oh my god, I love it. Like Vincenzo, you know, like freaking Dolly and the Cocky Prince. Like, it just didn't hit me that way. And maybe it was during the time where I was watching other dramas, and so those dramas kind of took over. Who knows? But it's still a great drama. It's a must-watch drama. Y'all need to watch it. It's so funny. It's really funny. And it's great. It really is. Our second honorable mention on this list, we have Hospital Playlist number 2. And again, there's nothing wrong with it. I think because there's already the first one and then the second one, I didn't want to like drop the first one. They were both brilliant dramas. And I think maybe it's because it's a medical trauma and it's just very traumatic because I work in the medical field, not as a medical person, but I work in the administrative part of it. But it just hit close to home in a way. I don't work in a hospital, I work in a clinic, but I don't know. I think it just wasn't like 1,000% like other dramas that I have on this list, but it's still a wonderful drama. Like, if I had to pick my top 20, Hometown Cha-Cha-Cha and Hospital Playlist would be on my top 20. Just saying. And I watched a lot of dramas. For my third honorable mention, I know you're all gonna hate me so, so much. I'm just gonna make sure it was a 2021 drama before I say it, because y'all are gonna be like, Bits, that's not from 2021. And I say Bits as if I've been watching a lot of Stephanie Su from YouTube, just y'all know. Okay, so it comes from 2021, but it jumped from 2020 and it jumped to 2021 and it aired for 2 months in 2021, so it is a 2021 drama. Okay. True Beauty. I have an episode for this drama. Y'all know, if you listen to that, y'all know why I have very mixed feelings. There was a point of the drama where I was very much in love, and then closer to the end, I just hated it. I did. I was very disappointed. I was in love more with the second lead, like her brother and her sister. But other than that, I was very disappointed. I was very disappointed in the second lead and the excessive pining that they had the character do. So there you go. That's my reasoning behind why I hated it at the end. Not severely, just I was very disappointed. The next honorable mention that I have is My Name. It is a Netflix drama. I think the only thing that I wish about this drama, I loved every single bit of it. Every single bit of it. I was very disappointed that it was too short, because I really wish that I could have seen the proper growth of the main character in the drama. Let me see if I can find it real quick so I can give you guys. Han So-hee, she did a brilliant job. She went from being this damsel in distress, weak-looking, I hate everyone. Okay, that's still the same thing. I guess a little bit of the oblivious when it comes to dating, to this strong-willed, powerful woman who will not give up for what's right. And even though she did unfortunately get, how would I put it, played with when it comes to what really happened in the plot, because I don't want to say it, I think I would have loved seeing, like, more episodes where there could have been a growth within the character, a plan to attack blah, 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 blah. Like, I could have loved seeing more things. I think that's the only reason why I didn't add it on my top 10, but it would have been in my top 20. Is that I wish that I could have seen more of it, because it was a brilliant drama. So maybe the relationship between the female and the kind, I guess he would be the second lead, because the male lead was not necessarily her lover, but it was someone who was very important. So yes, if only. Our next honorable mention that I really wish that I could have remembered of it sooner, but I didn't, and that's probably because I didn't add it on my list, and I'm so disappointed in myself, because I was very much in love with this drama, like excessively in love with this drama when it aired, and I even had to double check to make sure that it was a drama of 2021, and it was. It is called You Are My Hero, and it aired back in March to April. It is a Chinese drama, and it is basically a drama that follows a doctor and a special, what is his name? He works in the special forces. He's the captain. And it's basically following the romance between the two. And what I loved most about this drama is that, first and foremost, they're the most awkward people ever. And for them to be falling in love with each other was probably by far my favorite thing in the whole wide world. And I think I can relate to that sort of aspect, because they're both quirky. They're both very, like, work, I guess. Like, they follow work very well. But they still love each other, and there's not a lot of skinship, there's not a lot of touching, I guess what I'm referencing, but it was probably one of my favorite, like, Chinese dramas when it comes to romance, because there wasn't any, like, love triangles, because there wasn't any, like, oh, I hate you, we're breaking up, blah, 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 blah. It was such a good romantic drama, and if it was, like, I wish I could have. I think it would. If I would have thought it through, I would have added it on my top 10. But these other dramas kind of took it over. But if I had to choose between my Chinese, like, Chinese drama list, that would be my number 2. You Are My Glory will be my number 1. But this other one will be my number 2. So. And then the final honorable mention. Well, not an honorable mention, just a mention. Squid Game. I'm not watching it. Well, let me rephrase that. I'm not going to finish watching it. Point blank. I hated it. Nothing. No, no, no. Let me rephrase that. I didn't hate it. I didn't hate it. No, no, no. That sounds so bad. I hated that. It triggered my anxiety in the worst possible way ever. It did. I watched it up to episode 6. It was when they were doing the marble scene in the neighborhood. Yeah, after that, no. I didn't want to see any of my favorite characters die. And I knew they were going to die. So, yeah. What I hated? I don't hate it. I hate that I have anxiety is what I hate. What I hated about this drama is that people are stupid that would do anything for money. See, it would have been different, and our, what's his name? See, there's a difference between, there is a difference between trying to survive. Where is it? The Squid Game. I always have trouble finding this stupid. It's not a stupid drama. It's a brilliant drama. I'm not gonna lie. It's a brilliant drama. But I hate the fact that it triggers my anxiety so badly that it's really hard for me to, like, finish watching it. But my absolute favorite, Ali Abdul, who is played by Tripathi Anupam. He's like the only foreigner in the drama, but I didn't want to see him die. So what I hated was that most of these people, if not all, except two, the female girl that everyone liked, and then our foreigner beloved man, they were doing it for their family, for their survival, you know? And then our favorite female, I guess, lead in the drama, she was doing it because she was a North Korean defector, and she was trying to survive to help her and her brother live a better life. And I can understand where they're coming from parents who immigrated here to the States, knowing a lot of people that are immigrating for a better future, you know, trying to get money. I see that, but I didn't like that the rest of the people were there because of their own stupidity and the wrong choices. You know, there's someone who basically stole money, another one who stole money from his mother, and then the other one who was in the gang. Like, it was just people that made the wrong decisions. Like, but again, like, most of us would do anything for money. And I don't know, like, it was very triggering that I just couldn't watch it. Like, it's a brilliant drama. I don't rate it a 5 or 6. I rated it like a perfect 9. But I think because it was very triggering when it comes to my anxiety, I could not watch it. Because I know that once they hit the hopscotch, it's game over. And I was not about to witness that. So it was just sort of like, nah, bruh, no. And I also don't follow the bandwagon of things. Like, I was so excited to watch it, and then it was like the whole world just flipped over, and I'm like, nah, bruh, I'm not gonna watch it anymore. I mean, it was to the point where in Disneyland someone was watching it during their bathroom break. Like, what the French toast? So no, I will not continue watching it, unfortunately. It was just too much for my very weak mind at the very moment. There's so much that I have to deal with, and I can't. No, I don't want to face that. Maybe in the future, once my anxiety is in control. Like, right now, it's just been so bad. During the time that it aired to right now, my anxiety has gotten extremely worse. And I don't want to trigger it even more than anything. So maybe, it's a maybe, but for the now, it's a big fat no. So would it fall in my top 20? Probably, but I wouldn't be fair for the fact that I haven't actually finished watching it. So there's that. The final drama, my number one drama of 2021. I didn't think that I was going to fall in love with this one, I'll be very honest, but I loved it because of the actor and the actress. I loved it because of the story, and I loved it because I wasn't watching it alone, and I think that's what made it 10 times better. This drama is called The King's Affection, and it is a drama available on Netflix. The King's Affection is probably, okay, here's the thing, I don't typically even, just like Chinese dramas, I don't watch a lot of fantasy-like dramas. I don't really watch a lot of Joseon Dynasty-era dramas. There's nothing wrong with them. I think it's just the fact that with the fantasy dramas, they're either too long, that's the Chinese, and then with the Joseon Dynasty dramas, for the most part, I have only seen, like, 5, and I've been watching dramas for, like, 5 years, and that's a lot. That's a little bit. Maybe less than that, now that I think about it. If we're talking from beginning to end, I started watching it and then ended, 3 dramas. That's 3 dramas in 5 years. I've tried watching maybe 10, and I've only finished 3. That's talking. There's nothing wrong with them. I think, for me, what hits differently, it's the fact that there's the concubine, and there's nothing wrong with that. I just have the same thought as the main lead in The Red Sleeve, where If I become your concubine, I become yours, but you don't become mine. So that's my issue. There's, I guess, there's like not a controversy, but an issue where people view the concubines as kind of like bad, evil, you know, kind of ho-ish in a way. Not in that way, but like, if that makes any sense. I don't see them that way. I see them as, dude, you're one of many women that he's with. You're not really his. And it's just sort of like, what the French toast, you know? So I'm surprised to even have a Joseon Dynasty era drama as my number one. But I think because it was nothing like what I've seen. So this drama, again, it's available on Netflix. And it stars one of my favorite actresses and one actor that I was very pleasantly surprised. Park In-bin, she plays Yi-hui. And then Ruwan, who is a member of SF9. And I will be definitely making an episode for this drama in the future, but I was pleasantly surprised by the acting. So let me give you guys the synopsis. The Crown Prince's wife gave... I think I talked about it in a mini episode. I think I did. And I will be talking about it again. The Crown Prince's wife gave birth to twins, but twins were considered an ominous sign. The twin daughter was supposed to be killed, but her mother begged to save her life. Secretly, the twin daughter is sent out of the palace. A few years later, the twin son, Li Hui, is killed. The crown prince's wife hides her twin son's death and brings her daughter back to the palace and raises her as Prince Li Hui. Li Hui eventually becomes a crown prince, but she is afraid her real identity will be revealed because of her secret. Li Hui is unable to have anyone close to her. She hides her emotions from others, and she makes biting remarks. Dong Ji-un is Li Hui's teacher. Dong Ji-un comes from a noble family. He is handsome, smart, and optimist who enjoys life. Crown Prince Li Hui develops feelings for Dong Ji-un. Okay, y'all. So, I do remember mentioning in the mini episode previously about how the synopsis is a little deceiving, and it's still true. I haven't finished it, I'll be very honest, but again, I'm gonna finish it with friends real soon. I was supposed to finish yesterday, but I got sick, so I didn't want to get close to them. But, I already know how it's gonna end. So, that's the reason why I chose it as my number one, is because it does have a happy ending. And it's different. And I just was so amazed by Ruwan's acting. He's brilliant. And I hope that he has a successful career. That said, I don't know why I love this drama. It's a little funny. I think it's the male lead that's funny. I like that she plays a powerful person, even though she's portraying someone who she's not. But she still is this strong-willed woman. And I love that. I love the strong-willed, like the strong character that she is. I love that. And I think that's why I fell in love with this drama even more. And I wasn't going to watch it. My friends actually pushed me to watch it. And I was like, fine, I'll do it. And then by the second episode, I was reeled in real fast. But now because I had to put it on pause, because I got sick, of course, and because we planned on watching the last two episodes together, I'm just kind of like, fudge. I think I might watch it again. I might finish it on my own. So I don't know. I think the mystery, I love the mystery. The fact that some people know while others don't. I love the fact that, you know, she's not a damsel in distress, and I think that's what I fell in love with the most, is that she's not a damsel in distress. And I love that he's got more of these quirky, I don't want to say features, but characteristics. And I don't know, like, it hits differently. It really does. So that's why it's my number one. I mean, yeah, I guess. Oh my god. There you go. I'm done. Oh my god. Wow. That's it, folks. Those are my top 10, including honorable mentions. I didn't think that I was going to be enjoying this, but I did. And it's officially over. 2021 has hit differently when it comes to dramas. 2022, I'm looking forward for what you have in store for me. I'm excited. I'm waiting for a few dramas, I'm not going to lie. So I'm excited to see what's in store. Yeah. It's finally over. I will say that this season one is over. Season two will be coming up real soon. I might do some like excessive recording for the month of January, but I won't do any new episodes until February. Who knows? We'll see. But I think that's when I'm gonna be posting the next episode. So that's when season two will start for you all. I hope that you all loved the dramas that I have for you. Not everybody's gonna agree, but you know, we learn, I guess. But I hope you all enjoyed it. I would really love to know your top 10, top 10, 5, top 20, whatever. And let me know if I mentioned any of your favorites on my top 10, or even on my honorable mentions. So for now, I let you all be. I hope you all had a wonderful holiday and are entering the new year with positive outlook, positive attitude, or at least an attitude with hope, faith, and passion for whatever it is you want to do. And remember, you're not behind on anything. We're all struggling, no matter if you're 12, 15, 20, 25, or 30, or older than that. You'll find your place, you'll find yourself, and you'll find your happiness. And if you ever need anyone to talk to, I'm always there for y'all, okay? Just know that. Drama lovers, we gotta stick to each other, you know, stick to one another. Be friends from every age and protect each other, you know, because we're sensitive creatures, I feel like. So I hope you all had a wonderful holidays again. Hope you have a wonderful day, night, morning, whatever time it may be that you're listening to this. And stay safe, stay humble, and I will hope to talk to you all in the next episode. I will see you all, or no, talk to you all real soon. Bye.